It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
How would you like a 15% discount to my daily email, the stack of stuff, the show notes, discounts to the conference, all of that? All you need to do is text the word show to 33777. You'll get the annual subscription with a 15% discount to my daily email. You'll get the stack of stuff, the links to the show notes, discounts to the conference, and so much more. All you have to do is text the word show, S-H-O-W, to 33777. Text show to 33777.
Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show podcast, hour two.
My fellow Americans, welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, as always, text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777, should you wish to be on the program. I played the audio in the last segment that Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, took several members of the House, the Republican members of the New York delegation, and Virginia Fox of Virginia to the Columbia's campus. And they were shouted down. They were heckled. It did not turn violent due to security, but the students tried to drown them out, chanted slurs, insults, profanity. And what's so interesting to me is how the media has, in many ways, tried to downplay what's happening on the campus. You know, first of all, I need to make this very clear to you. This is not some sort of organic protest that's happening. It is not, nor has it ever been, an organic protest. The students at Columbia, at Yale, at Stanford, at the University of Southern California, these other places, now Emory University in Atlanta, they didn't just all decide spontaneously, hey, I'm going to go to REI and buy a brand new pop tent, pop-up dome tent and park it on campus. No, no, no. The Students for Free Palestine and other anti-Semitic groups went out and organized it. They had organizers and organizations. They used funds from somewhere. Congress should investigate. In fact, an enterprising attorney general in the nation could probably round up these kids, charge them with RICO, and start an investigation to where did they get the money for the tents. Was it foreign funded? This is not organic. This is not spontaneous. This is organized. The Students for Free Palestine, or whatever they call it, at Columbia, and their charter statement justifies violence. That is one means of resistance, and all means of resistance are necessary. They shouted down the Speaker of the House and the New York members of Congress. Karen Finney on CNN was outraged and said all they were doing was pouring gasoline on the fire. They weren't there to look for solutions. She's upset because what Mike Johnson did, the Speaker of the House did, is highlight the insanity of the progressive base of the Democratic Party. And Karen Finney and the Democrats are upset. Aaron Burnett was like, how is it anti-Semitic to say free Palestine? Mike Johnson says, well, I mean, Hamas came out and endorsed the protest and said that these people are on the side of Hamas. And if Hamas is endorsing your protest, it might just be anti-Semitic. And it's notable that these kids, when they harass students, they don't care if the Jewish student is a Zionist or not. They don't ask them what their position is on Israel. They just assault them. You can also tell this isn't organic because word clearly went out and all of these groups pushed towards the camera the Jewish students who were protesting with them. Now, y'all know who Candace Owens is. Candace Owens is a trans conservative. She's a progressive who identifies as a conservative. She's made a lot of money off of conservatives. She's now a Nazi apologist. Candace Owens has literally been on social media over the past week defending the Nazis and criticizing the firebombing of Dresden and the like. Candace Owens is an apologist for the Nazis. Having a black trans conservative defend the Nazis does not make the Nazis not racist. The Nazis were highly racist. Pushing some Jewish rube to the camera to say, well, he hates the Jews as well, doesn't make the protest anti-Semitic. It makes the Jewish student a useful idiot. And every authoritarian movement in the world has used useful idiots like Candace Owens or the Jewish students that are being shoved in the camera to say, oh, tell them you hate Israel too. But what these students are doing that is the most demented, depraved, disturbing act of evil is they're saying when asked the question, should the hostages that Hamas holds be released? They're saying no. Some of them refuse to answer. Most of them are saying no. And these aren't Arab kids. These aren't kids from the Middle East. These are blonde-haired, blue-eyed American kids who'd fit right at home in the Nazi party. They've got the towels wrapped around them, the kefiyas that are wrapped around them. They're in solidarity with the Palestinians. They're chanting. They're chanting from river to sea. They're chanting all the genocidal slogans of Hamas. And when asked, should the hostages be freed? They say no. This has become deeply relevant in the past 24 hours because Hirsch Goldstein Polish, he's a Goldberg Polish, he's alive. I've played audio of his mother, Rachel. Hirsch was at the Music Festival for Peace on October 7th in Israel. When the attack began, Hirsch and other 20-somethings ran to a bunker. It's a bomb shelter. Hamas stood at the door of the bomb shelter throwing in grenades. And Hirsch and his friend who was with him threw the grenades back. His friend missed a grenade and threw his body on top of it and he died. Hirsch had his hand blown off throwing the grenades back. He and his friend saved a lot of lives. These are the eyewitnesses who made it out, who lived, who hid under the dead bodies and pretended to be dead. And Hirsch was taken captive. Hamas has released a proof of life video that Hirsch is alive, missing his arm. He's alive. And on the day Hamas revealed that Hirsch Goldberg Polish is alive, a Jewish activist went on campus at Columbia University with a camera, hilariously dressed himself up as Moses, saying, "Let my people go." And he put a microphone in the faces of these blonde-haired, blue-eyed American kids, and he said, "Should Hamas have to release the hostages?" And they said, "No." I forget what the movie is that won the Oscar where the guy stood on stage and lectured everyone about how anti-Israel he was and it was a Holocaust movie and he's Jewish. And the others who participated in the movie were upset with him. But the movie was essentially about the banality of evil. You know, during the Holocaust, the Germans who lived around the concentration camps, they carried on with life as normal. They had meals, they did dishes, they cut the grass. The ashes from the crematorium fell like snow. Life went on as normal. The banality of evil. These American kids, these aren't foreigners. Some of them are. But those that were asking the question, these are American kids. These are American citizens. These are born in the USA Americans. From prestigious families, from upper income families that were able to get into the Ivy League through their connections. And they see no problem with Hamas keeping Hirsch a hostage. They see no problem with Hamas keeping any of these people hostages. They say they want peace. If the hostages were released, the war would stop. If the hostages were released, the war would stop. But they don't want to release the hostages. They want their cake. They want to eat it too. They want the destruction of Israel. They want the end of the war. And they're not going to get it. They could get the end of the war, at least. They could get the end of what's happening to Gaza if the hostages were released, and they don't want it done. They're evil. They're evil. They're on the side of evil, and they don't even recognize they're evil. They think they're on a righteous side. Evil always thinks it's on a righteous side. The Nazis thought they were the good guys. Every mass murderer rationalizes his mass murder as good. These people are evil. You can't deal with evil. It's remarkable to me that we've got American kids from privileged backgrounds who have no empathy or sympathy for people held against their will by a terror organization. Makes you just want to napalm the evil. Except that in and of itself would be a depraved act. But these kids don't know depraved acts. You don't want to reciprocate evil with evil. But you can be sorely tempted. I get it. You don't want to, though. You shouldn't. I struggle to see how the Ivy League should continue. Andrew Ross Sorkin, I don't have the audio. Andrew Ross Sorkin, a buddy of mine was telling me this morning, was on CNBC and said, if you really want to stop this, the billionaires need to stop saying, I'm not going to give Columbia money. What the billionaires need to do is say, I'm not hiring a soul who has a Columbia degree. And I think we've come to that point. Do not hire from Harvard. Do not hire from Yale. Do not hire from Columbia. Do not hire from the University of Southern California. Don't hire from Emory University. Emory's got they started it this morning at Emory's campus. They've started their Free Palestine, Free Gaza protest at Emory. Don't hire from Emory if the university doesn't crack down on it. The Emroids. Stop hiring these people. You're dealing with evil. You're dealing with people who have no real sense of right or wrong. Their sense of right or wrong comes from the mob. It comes from the herd. It comes from the tribe. It doesn't come from an inward sense of self. It doesn't come from an inward soul. It doesn't come from an inward conscience. They have no conscience of any good, of any caliber, if they can't say it's wrong to keep these hostages. If they can't say release the hostages, they are on the side of evil. And you shouldn't hire evil and bring it into your organization. And the only way to weed it out is to just say, I'm not hiring anybody who comes from one of these schools. There's not an SEC champion out there that has an anti-Semitic problem on its campus. But the Ivy League is overrun with it now. Overrun with evil. I have friends who went to Harvard. I have friends who went to Yale. I have friends who went to Princeton and Dartmouth. They are appalled at what's happened on their campuses too. And I've told them, stop hiring from your alma mater. Stop hiring from them. That'll clean it up immediately. These campuses, their students, they want the prestige. They want the access. They want the notoriety. Don't give it to them. Don't hire them. Shut them out of the job market. Their student loans are paid for. You don't have to feel sympathy for them. Joe Biden paid off their student loans. They don't have debt leaving college now. They can go work at McDonald's and be fine. Let them flip burgers for the rest of their life. But don't hire from the Ivy League. The Ivy League has become an incubator for immorality and evil. The Ivy League is filled with students who, when confronted by the evils of Hamas, try to justify it. Those are not the people you should want on the payroll in your institution. And you, my friends in the private sector, you could shut down the evil that's run amok on these college campuses fairly quickly if you took a firm stand and said, I'm not hiring anyone who goes to any of these colleges. Doesn't matter whether they participated in the protest or not. I'm not hiring a soul who went to these colleges and universities. You would see change within weeks. Are you willing to stand up to the evil? Because you, if you're a business owner, you have the power to shut this evil down in your hiring decisions. This burden passes to you. Are you up for it?
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. Yes, you can be on the phones. 877-973-7425. Let me go to Julie calling from Dayton, Ohio. Welcome to the show. Julia, I'm sorry.
Hello.
Hi there. Welcome.
Hi. I have a question for you. You know how if you have debt forgiveness, like through a credit card or whatever, they'll issue a 1099-C. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be appropriate for these student loan forgiveness recipients to have to pay tax on that money? Like, case in point,
yes,
the guy that got $250,000 forgiven to – he's a violinist, and – he is now going to study meditation. Shouldn't he have to pay taxes on that money?
Yes.
If we're paying taxes to support it.
100% they should have to pay taxes on it. The fact that the Biden administration isn't doing that is just another sign of how political gamesmanship this is. Here's what I actually suspect is going to happen. If Trump gets elected, the odds are the Republicans are going to take back Congress. If Trump gets elected, the numbers are on his side. The GOP probably takes back Congress. They're going to have to deal with the expiration of the Trump tax cuts. I think one of the things they're going to do in a reconciliation package is they will apply a tax to all of the student loan debt forgiveness that doesn't get overturned by courts, and that'll cost them money. They're going to have to pay tax on that. There will be a tax burden, and there should, by the way, be a tax burden. There should be. All right, I got to move on to other stuff when we come back. I do have to read you tell you about this funny story. So the New York Times and the White House hate each other at this point. It's very funny. The White House is upset with the New York Times not honoring their rules on how you source people and quotes. And they don't like that the New York Times has run a series of stories questioning Joe Biden's age. The New York Times, a reliably progressive outfit, isn't progressive enough for the Biden administration. They've gotten that sensitive to the concerns. And when you jockey with the press that much, the New York Times may want Joe Biden reelected, but they're not really lifting a finger at this point to toe the party line with the White House, because the White House just wants more and more and more and more. It's a very funny story. The Politico covering it today on just how much the hatred there is between the press shop at the White House and the reporters at the New York Times right now. Man, this White House cannot manage relations to save its life. It's one of the weaknesses of this administration. Now, I got to tell you about something strong, and that would be the opinions and commentary you get it at in Primus. That is a free publication from Hillsdale College. If you go to Eric, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com today, you can get in Primus, and you get it for free from Hillsdale College. It's part of their mission to advance education in the conservative movement. It is a great publication. It is a great, great way to get leading conservative thoughts from across America. You go to Eric, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com. You go today, you sign up for Imprimis. It comes to your mailbox completely for free every month. You never have to pay a penny for it. I've been getting it since I was in law school. It is a great, great way to find out what the leading conservative thinkers in America are thinking about. It's very thoughtful, very thought-provoking. It's great intellectual stimulation for you, easy to read and digest, and it comes every month. Imprimis, brought to you by Hillsdale College. You can get a free copy by going to Eric, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com, and then it comes every month. You're never charged a penny, part of Hillsdale's educational mission.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy.
Chumba.
The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumba.
ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, very happy to have you. I want to play for you some audio. This is from David Axelrod. He is on CNN. He and Scott Jennings together. And this is really important. Audio, because there's a huge point that needs to be made.
No. Why are you excited for Scott?
I think Speaker Johnson deserves great credit for putting those bills on the floor. I was as thrilled as Scott with the outcome of that vote. I don't know. I mean, he's been so thirsty as a regular Republican for regular order and for normalcy and for functionality. So I understand his feelings right now. I need to see more evidence that this is a continuing thing. More than half the Republicans voted against that aid for Ukraine. Why? Because they feared Donald Trump and they feared the base. That problem still exists. So I don't know. This may be a watershed event, or it just may be a passage, and then we return to politics as usual. And we shall see.
David Axelrod, Scott Jennings, thanks to both of you.
Okay. I got to say something here. A lot of people are missing the point on the Ukraine funding. And what I find so funny is this is an ongoing bit of groupthink. I'm trying to avoid pejoratives and jokes about cults and stuff like that, but it's very interesting to watch Steve Bannon and others assure us that Donald Trump was opposed to the funding in Ukraine because they are opposed to the funding in Ukraine. Donald Trump, more than Joe Biden, got the Ukraine funding past the House. When David Axelrod says more than half of Republicans voted against the funding in Ukraine because they were scared of Donald Trump and his base, maybe they're scared of the base, but it had nothing to do with Donald Trump. I know Donald Trump supported it. How do I know Donald Trump supported it? Because he could have killed it, and instead, in the days before the voting, Donald Trump, on social media and in public, said multiple things about supporting Ukraine. If Donald Trump wanted to kill it, he could have come out like he did with the original Ukraine funding and like he did with the border bill and said, don't pass it. And he didn't do that. There is this weird, weird gamesmanship and weird theater that goes on with some Trump supporters where they insist that you not believe your eyes. And remarkably, there are a vast array of people who choose not to believe what is very obvious because they can't reconcile it with their worldview. You know, the definition of a smart person, definitionally, basic, and this isn't meant to be an insult, but the definitional, basic, foundational premise of someone who is intelligent is you can take information that collides with your worldview and process and synthesize it as opposed to flat out rejecting it because it doesn't conform to your worldview. Think about the transgender movement. There's a vast array of scientific data that transgenderism is a mental health issue, not a biological issue. In fact, basic biology and science collide with transgenderism. And so what has the transgender community decided to do? The transgender community has decided to ignore the science, silence the scientists, and lie about the underlying science because the underlying science conflicts with their worldview. Instead of adjusting their worldview to corroborate the science, they have to reject the science. This is happening with the Steve Bannons of the world and others, that Donald Trump could have killed the Ukraine funding. Instead, he spoke up in favor of Ukraine in the days before the vote. He very clearly supported it. He very clearly supported Mike Johnson bringing it forward. And you've got a lot of these people twisting everything. No, he really didn't. I hear from sources behind the scenes that the establishment monkeys beside Donald Trump forced his hand on this, but he's privately fuming. So Donald Trump doesn't have the ability to stand up to the people around him. Donald Trump doesn't have the ability to get on his own social media and say, kill it. No, he wanted it to pass. I continue. It is remarkable phenomenon that all of these people try to tell us what Donald Trump does and does not want and does not do. The man has direct access to social media to tell us what he likes and doesn't like. And he liked Ukraine. He defended Ukraine. And House Republicans, remember, only 70 of the House Republicans actually voted to kill the Ukraine funding. The rest of them let it get to the floor knowing it was going to pass. They may have been scared of his base. They may have not wanted the base to be alienated from him. But the idea that Donald Trump was scuttling Ukraine funding when he was speaking up on behalf of Ukraine in the days leading up to it and did not declaratively say, kill it, that's just a little silly talk. It's silliness brought to you by the guys who tried to sell you Donald Trump opposed this. Part of the problem we have in Washington right now on the right is there's this idea of Trumpism. And they give great weight to Trumpism. It is some sort of intellectual school of thought derived from conservatism, blended with populism, and it is a coherent narrative worldview of the way the world should work and public policy should work and Republican policy should be dictated. And you have a lot of think tanks in Washington, D.C. these days that are trying to give ideas into Trumpism, that are trying to define what it is. But at the end of the day, Trumpism is about Trump. And it's about what Donald Trump wants and Donald Trump thinks and Donald Trump feels. And the way that these guys have decided to deal with when Trump conflicts with what they've decided Trumpism is, because let's be clear here, Donald Trump isn't giving intellectual firepower to it. Donald Trump is Donald Trump. It's the wonks on the outside, the elite of the right, the establishment of the right trying to stay relevant in the age of Trump. They're trying to give intellectual weight and intellectual heft and ideas and white papers and the like to it. And when Donald Trump conflicts with it, what their solution has been is say, oh, he didn't really mean that. He didn't actually do that. Don't pay attention to what he actually tweeted or Truth Social or whatever you want to call it. Don't pay attention to that. Pay attention to us. We've defined Trumpism. But it's named after a man. And as long as that man is alive, he gets to define it. But all of these people in these think tanks and the ivory towers and in the white papers and on social media and on fringe podcasts and the like, they've all convinced themselves and a lot of his supporters that Donald Trump doesn't support Ukraine and that Ukraine's the bad guy. But Donald Trump came out and spoke favorably of Ukraine, spoke favorably of Mike Johnson, and did not do what he did the last time Ukraine was funded and the last time the border bill was up, where he explicitly said, kill it. He didn't do those things, and he could have if he wanted to. He's tweeted a lot about a lot of stuff in the last 96 hours in the last week, and he didn't tweet, don't vote for Ukraine. He could have, and he didn't. And the rationalization of the people trying to give some coherence to Trumpism suggests that there is no coherence. Donald Trump got Ukraine funding passed, and it's a credit to him that he did. Now, why? There's this other current on the right. And they say things like, and I've heard it, I've had callers say it, isn't it interesting how someone gets elevated to power and they change? Look at Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson was one of us, and then he became Speaker of the House. And he went from opposing Ukraine to supporting Ukraine. What does the deep state have on Mike Johnson? Do you know, when you're Speaker of the House of Representatives, you get intelligence briefings that the other members of the House don't have. When you are the nominee for a political party, you get intelligence briefings others don't get. What is the intelligence that Mike Johnson got? Because it's very clearly the intelligence he got that made him change his mind. Same with Donald Trump. Donald Trump gets the same briefing the speaker does because he's the nominee for the major political party. He gets an intelligence briefing. Remember, the Democrats didn't want Trump to get these intelligence briefings, and he's getting them. Now, some of you out there, because I know where this goes with these sorts of people, are like, well, the deep state lied. The deep state misled. The deep state wants forever wars. So what you're saying is Donald Trump, who went through an impeachment based on the deep state trying to get him, is so dumb that he's decided to believe the deep state that tried to get him that he doesn't like. Is that what you're saying? Because it sounds like that's what you're saying, that Donald Trump's not smart enough to realize he's being played by the deep state, except he's already seen the deep state out to get him. Or maybe, just maybe, bear with me here. Maybe Donald Trump found the intelligence in the briefings credible enough that he thought Ukraine needed to be supported. Maybe even going into with great skepticism of the deep state and great skepticism of the intelligence community and knowing they tried to get him, maybe he found it all credible. And I don't know why. What did they have? But maybe there actually is something in there. We don't know because we don't get the intelligence briefings, and they can't say. On condition of them getting the intelligence briefings, they're not allowed to tell us. But something led Donald Trump and Mike Johnson to believe it was worth supporting Ukraine. I have a suspicion of what it is. Ukraine, despite all of what you're hearing now about Russian success and Russian advances, and they are advancing because Ukraine is low on ammunition and they have had to ration supplies until today when they started getting it back from us. Ukraine has been able to take out some of Russia's most impressive weapons. They've actually been able to hit inside Russia. They're targeting refineries, among other things. The U.S. is publicly saying no, but giving Ukraine the missiles to make it happen. Ukraine may actually be more successful than what media reports right now have been suggesting. And maybe they are headed in a position to get a negotiated peace with Russia. They're not going to get all their territory back. It's pretty clear they're not going to get all their territory back. But maybe, just maybe, instead of trying to convince ourselves that Donald Trump was really opposed to it when he wasn't, or maybe, just maybe, instead of convincing ourselves that the intelligence community that Donald Trump distrusts lied to him and he wasn't smart enough to see through the lie, maybe there's credible information about the need to support Ukraine, the reasons and justifications for it, and the people who oppose it, who haven't had the briefings, who don't know the intelligence. They're having gut reactions led by outside voices that are outside the loop, that are trying to define Trumpism in their image and not Donald Trump's image. And Donald Trump and Trumpism in his image is a pretty standard American president willing to help our allies against bad guys. And he sees Russia as the bad guy. Remember, Donald Trump imposed way more sanctions on Russia than Barack Obama ever did. Maybe there's actually a rational basis to believe that Ukraine is worth supporting, and Donald Trump, based on that information, helped get it passed and deserves credit, despite what you might hear from the Trumpism radio network, whatever that is. Now, I got to move on. Before I do, I want to tell you about Vision Computers, because in 15 seconds or less, they can give you the answer to whatever ails your computer. Do you have one of those problems where you're at work? Let's use the work scenario right here. You're at work. You're an expert. You're an economist. You know all about economy, and you don't know jack about your computer, and you got to figure out something on your computer. Well, you could go to Google, but faster than a Google search, you can get the answer from Vision Computers. And Vision Computers can do it, $179 a year per computer for an office. So every employee gets Vision Computers' number, and they can be the expert at their job and let Vision Computers be the expert at their computer. Here's the thing. If you let Vision build your computers for you, it comes for free. The tech support does. Comes with Vision's computers, and they save you money. So they build your computers, and then they serve as your IT support. If you don't have a computer from Vision Computers, Vision can still be your IT support, and it's a low annual fee. It's not a monthly fee, $179. It's an annual fee. That's a great deal. So your employees can be good at being employees, and Vision can be good at computers. They have thousands of five-star Google reviews, and faster than a Google search, in 15 seconds or less, they can get your employees the answers they need to be proficient on their computers to get their job done. They can also, for your home, build your PCs and be your tech support as well. Got a kid going to college? If Vision builds their computer for them, Vision will be their tech support. So when they're in college, they can just call Vision 15 seconds or less, get the answer they need to their computer, email, printer support, you name it. Vision Computers can save you money. 404-COMPUTE is the number, 404-COMPUTE, or visioncomputers.com. 404-COMPUTE. If you call Vision at 404-COMPUTE, tell them I sent you. They'll save you even more money. visioncomputers.com or 404-COMPUTE.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello there. Welcome back. Here's your laugh for the day. Jim Trotter writes for The Athletic, which is owned by the New York Times and has essentially become their sports page. And Jim Trotter is upset, claiming that Caitlin Clark is getting a bunch of corporate endorsement deals, not because of her athletic prowess, but because she's white. Really. It's her whiteness that's getting her these deals. Tiger Woods say what? The racial narrative that so many people in the media have embraced, one, it's dumb. But it's like so many people now, you see data that doesn't comport to your worldview and you've got to exclude it. You can't like process it through your worldview. This is why I think so many conspiracy theories have cropped up so much on the left and the right these days, is because people have decided they know the way the world works. And when they're confronted with information that disputes how they've perceived the world works, they've got to either dismiss it and say it's not true or concoct a conspiracy theory to it. So Caitlin Clark gets a mass number of endorsement deals, something that others in the WNBA have not done. And it is perceived not because her athletic prowess has made people pay attention to women's basketball for the first time in forever, but because she's white. The fact of the matter is, I think within a year or so, people are going to forget Caitlin Clark's existence because people are going to move on from the WNBA. And if they don't, if I'm wrong, it has everything to do with her as an athlete impressing everyone so much. And that has nothing to do with her whiteness. It has to do with her skills. She's a record setter, a record breaker. They've twisted the rules to have her beat Pete Maravich's record on goals. I mean, he didn't have a 3-point line. It just, they've twisted everything to advance the narrative, but she is a remarkably gifted athlete in her own right. They didn't have to do all the twisting. She shines on her own. And if people pay attention to the WNBA, they're better off for it. But to make it a racial narrative is to tell us you're not actually a very thoughtful person. But then again, most of the people who rush to the racial narratives aren't thoughtful people. Look at Ibram Kendi and Nicole Hannah-Jones. They're just not that bright. And also, they got in their positions because white progressives liked that they told the white progressives what they wanted to hear. They're indebted to the white people, it makes them mad when you point it out, but it's true.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.